I speak to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. If there is one word to describe 2020 so far, what would you choose? Perhaps most of us would choose pandemic, or crisis, or isolation, or some other word related to the COVID-19 pandemic and the large-scale changes that have rocked our world because of it over the past 6 months. Perhaps some of us would choose negative emotions or descriptions like terrible, challenging, uncomfortable, topsy-turvy. While I think all of these words would be appropriate and true, the word which resonates with me the most over the course of 2020 is forgiveness. You see, 2020 has not only been about the pandemic, it's also dredged up the long-ignored realities of social inequality in communities of color. It has brought to greater focus the horrors of poverty and oppression at home and across the globe. It has exposed the hatred, the anger, and the prejudice which often simmers underneath the veneer of niceness and politeness in everyday society. I have spoken before of the protests that have rocked the world, and particularly the United States, in the wake of a series of unarmed black people being killed. Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, George Floyd, Jacob Blake being paralyzed, and many, many, many more, sadly too many to count. And here in Canada, we certainly aren't immune to all the issues which have led us here. But amidst of all the protests, the police, brutality, the pandemic, which have rocked the news this summer, it was the death of Representative John Lewis which especially grasped my attention. I must admit that I did not know that much about Representative John Lewis before he died. As a child born in the 1980s in Canada, his legacy as a leader in the American civil rights movement eluded my studies of history. He worked alongside the Reverend Martin Luther King, Jr. in the forefront of the civil rights movement of the 1960s, and he suffered at the hands of authorities and racist mobs, highlighted by having his skull cracked in as he walked over the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama, by Alabama State Troopers. John Lewis literally bled for his belief in justice and equality for all. At the core of the civil rights movement and at the core of the career and character of John Lewis was the notion that nonviolence, and even more so love and forgiveness, even for those who injured and oppressed him. John Lewis's life and career seemed to epitomize the ideal of forgiveness. From his earliest days preaching to chickens to the way he forgave and befriended the former Ku Klux Klansman Elwin Wilson who attacked him, John Lewis knew something of the forgiveness Jesus spoke about in our reading from Matthew this morning. Unfortunately, forgiveness isn't as easy for most of us as John Lewis perhaps made it seem in his life. We talk about forgiveness every week at church, but I imagine for many of us forgiveness is difficult, both to receive and to give. Forgiveness is hard work, after all. When we are the offended or the hurt party, it requires us to move beyond the hurt or the offense and desire to be restored or reconciled with the person who hurt or offended us. If we are the one who has hurt or offended someone, it might seem like forgiveness is easy. After all, we receive forgiveness, but I would argue that receiving forgiveness is also difficult, because we have to recognize the need to be forgiven. We have to recognize that we are wrong. We have to realize that we need the relationship to be reconciled. And sometimes we have to come around to forgiving ourselves as well. Perhaps that is part of the reason that Jesus invites us to pray about forgiveness every time that we use the Lord's Prayer, both for ourselves that we might and that we might forgive others. Prayer is powerful, after all. It can change us and those around us, particularly when it comes for forgiveness. Our gospel passage today highlights both the simplicity and the difficulty of forgiveness. Our passage from Matthew today comes in the midst of Jesus' teaching about the kingdom of God, receiving it like children, and amidst his teachings about what it might be like for the Christian community. Our passage follows immediately from Jesus' teaching about the lost sheep and how the church should deal with persistent sinners. In response to all of these teachings, Peter asks Jesus what is the appropriate number of times to forgive another member of the church that sins against him. And Peter, and I can imagine quite smugly, offers up a number, 7, which to many of us would seem quite generous. And yet, Jesus' response to Peter is not 7 times, but I tell you, 77 times. The magnitude of this number is only really grasped when we realize that in Jewish tradition, this sort of multiplying of numbers was not meant to be taken literally, but rather as a sign of infinity. Jesus is therefore telling Peter that there should be no limit to the number of times that he should forgive his brother or sister in Christ. In fact, he must be always prepared to extend forgiveness and to seek reconciliation. This is difficult to hear. It is difficult to hear Jesus teach us that forgiveness should be offered infinitely and that we should always be ready for reconciliation. After all, this passage and passages like it have been used to convince many people of color to forgive those who beat and oppress them, even as the oppression and the beatings continue. Or it has been used to convince many a woman to return to an abusive husband, even if the abuse continues. So I want to examine more deeply the complex meaning of reconciliation and forgiveness in Jesus' teaching here today. If we continue in our gospel story, we heard the parable of the king and the slave who was indebted to him. The king forgives him a large debt, and we must highlight that this is a massive debt. If 1 talent was what a worker could make in a year, 10,000 talents is 10,000 years of labor. So it is a massive debt, and it is forgiven this slave. But then he in turn, once he is forgiven, fails to forgive a fellow slave a much smaller debt, 100 denarii, a pittance in comparison. In response, the slave is then punished and forced to pay the debt that he originally owed to the king. Now, we might think the actions of the king at the end of the story are harsh, but the first slave has not truly lived into the forgiveness that the king has offered. The forgiveness that the king offered him should have changed the man's life. The grace that he experienced at the hands of the king should have been extended to his own debtor. When we have hurt or offended someone, forgiveness can only truly happen if we are changed by the forgiveness that we are offered. If our lives are transformed by the grace that someone offers to us as they forgive us. Forgiveness is like a partner dance. It only works when both partners are working together. For forgiveness to lead to restoration and reconciliation, there must be change. There must be a willingness to receive and be transformed by the forgiveness offered. Otherwise, it is as if we have not received that forgiveness at all. For communities of color to forgive their oppressors, the systems which continually beat them down, something has to change. Something in the relationship has to change, and sometimes that means no longer remaining quiet about historic injustices, but protesting on the streets and calling for massive systemic change until somebody listens. Forgiveness does not mean subjecting ourselves over and over and over again to the hurts of another, but rather forgiveness means the willingness to be truly reconciled when the other is ready to embrace the grace of forgiveness. In the Lord's Prayer, when we pray, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us," we are reminded that we need to be constantly reconciled to God, and that we need to bear the fruit of that forgiveness in our lives towards others. What does it profit us to claim the forgiveness of God if we are unable to live out that forgiveness that we receive? In that event, we are like the wicked slave, and we find ourselves functionally rejecting the grace and mercy of God. We find ourselves unchanged by the power of God in our lives. And this is why at the heart of God's family prayer, which is what the Lord's Prayer is, Jesus gives us these words to pray day in and day out. At the heart of this prayer is the reminder that we are all reliant on God's grace and forgiveness. At the heart of this prayer is the reminder that we all fall short of the glory of God, but that through the power of Christ, we are able to achieve reconciliation. We are able to return again and again to the well of forgiveness. Like Jesus before him, John Lewis bore the scars of this forgiveness on his body, but those scars did not deter him. The beatings and the humiliation did not stop him from allowing the love and forgiveness of God to shape his life and the society that he hoped to build in America. In his 2012 memoir, Across That Bridge, Life Lessons and a Vision for Change, John Lewis wrote, "Our actions entrench the power of light on this planet. Every positive thought we pass between us makes room for more light. And if we do more than think, then our actions clear the path for even more light. That is why forgiveness and compassion must become more important principles in public life." Forgiveness and compassion. As we seek the kingdom of God here on earth, here in Canada, here in our corner of South Scarborough, and here in our lives, may those lives be marked by forgiveness and compassion. May we be willing to ask forgiveness for the wrongs we have committed or participated in, even unconsciously. And may we be able to offer forgiveness to those who have aggrieved us. May compassion reign in our hearts for the poor and the oppressed and all those in need. In Jesus, forgiveness and compassion water the seeds of change in our world. John Lewis knew this in his life. May we truly know this even as we enter into this uncertain time that we enter into. While 2020 and beyond remains unknown, we can be certain that God's ultimate vision of the kingdom is one where justice flows down like water, where mercy and love abound, and where forgiveness and compassion are the cruciform centerpiece of the beloved community that Dr. King and John Lewis preached so passionately about. We are all loved. We are all forgiven. For that I say, thanks be to God.